can't see it. The words with a question mark, is it worth it? I believe that's a question that no doubt every one of us in here this evening that knows the value of something has probably asked ourselves many times. And I'm sure that even the young parents here this evening have probably asked yourself that just in this meeting. Is it worth it? When you come to service and a little junior acts up, you take him out and you come back in and he does it again, and you take him out the third time and you come back in and he does it again, and you think, well, everybody's thinking I'm probably going out and petting him. And you wonder, is it worth it? I know when our children were small, we had those same questions. Karen said one time, she said, I don't know if it's worth it. I'd just like to have a place where I could just be in a little box and I could enjoy the service and nobody else notice. Well, I want to encourage you tonight, it's worth it. It's worth it. Whatever it takes, it's worth it to be here. In this meeting, to hear the things that we've heard already thus far, it's worth it. To be able to experience the things that the Lord is bringing our way, it's worth it. I thought about this evening as we were down there in the little minister's building there and having prayer for Sister Velda. And I thought about what she was going through and her sufferings, and I'm fully persuaded that the enemy probably has come by her way sometime or another and said, is it worth it? And as we were there, if you were there, you know. But as we were there praying, and there was just a outpouring and an emptying out of ourselves, each one that was there. And I listened to the prayers and different ones praying, and I thought, yes, it's worth it. I can see the Lord looking down on that assembly and seeing that urgency and that uniting in prayer, and I can see Him say, it's worth it. Yes. Do you know, I believe the Lord, as He looks in our assemblies, if He can get that in from all of us, whatever it is, if He can bring about a real earnestness, yes, a desire to please the Lord, Lord, just whatever it takes, I believe the Lord say, it's worth it. Yes. Whatever I have to permit to come to pass, it's worth it. You know, I believe that the Lord, His desire is to bring us to that place in our lives. I was thinking about this question, and it's something that touches everything in our lives. You go to town, and you buy something, and one of the questions that you usually ask is it worth it? I have been recently looking, needing to get another pickup, and so I've been looking at them. And I've looked at used ones, and I've looked at new ones. And it's not a matter of trying to find out something that'll work. It's a matter of being willing to pay the price. I've looked at them, and there's some I'd be more than happy with, but I'll be honest with you, I just haven't been willing to pay the price yet. And as I was thinking about it, one day the Lord began to talk to me, and He said, you know, that's the same way it is with salvation. It's the same problem that I have with people, is everybody wants to go to heaven, but people don't want to pay the price. And I thought about what, there was a song when I was growing up, I believe it was Loretta Lynn, someone that was singing it, said, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Now, I believe there's a lot more truth to that song than what she ever envisioned. Because everybody, I believe tonight, no doubt all of us here want to go to heaven. I would say everybody does. But the question is are we willing to pay the price? What I would like in a pickup is to find one that's a new pickup that somebody has bought. It's got everything on it that I want, that'll do just everything that I need, but that they've bought it, they've suffered the loss on it, and they're willing to give it to us at a bargain. Isn't that what we want? That's usually what we want, isn't it? Well, that's what I've been looking for. Well, the Lord said, you know, that's exactly what I did. You couldn't afford salvation. I couldn't afford it. And the Lord came by, and what He did was He paid the price for something that we couldn't afford, and He says, I'm willing to give it to you. And yet sometimes we still look at it and say, is it worth it? Do you know that He paid the price, the part that we couldn't pay, but there's still something that we have to pay, and that's the being willing to die. Being willing to die to Curtis. Being willing to die to what I want, and my ideas and my opinions. And I thought about what Sister Connie said this morning. when she was standing there in that aisle and listening, or maybe there with the tires and things weren't going well, and there was something that just wanted to say, well, these people, and be exasperated with them. But you know, that's exactly what it takes. If you and I are going to go to heaven, we're going to have to be willing to die to those feelings. They're natural. It's something that when we recognize something is wrong, there's something within us that says, that's wrong. And we want to respond to that. And the enemy will come into our hearts and our soul, and he'll try to get us to respond in a way that will cause you and I to miss heaven. I thought about my truck. I've got an old truck, and it's about 20 years old. And I've driven it. It gets me there to work and back. But one day I went to work, and the guys told me, they said, I wish you'd just break down and buy you another truck. And I looked at them. I thought, well, it's getting me to work and back. It didn't seem like a problem. And one of the guys said, I'm getting tired of slipping on your oil. And I looked at it, and I thought, well, now, I know it leaks a little oil, but he said, you look under there, he said, we're afraid the front end's going to fall out from under it. Because he said, when you look at that big oil slick, and when it first started, and I told him, I said, now, I don't think that's all from my truck. There's other people park in there after hours, and I said, I don't think that's all coming from mine. Well, I found out before long that it was mine, because every place I go, it'd leave a big oil spot, and it kept getting bigger. There, at first, when it started doing it, I sit on a hill, and it would leak out, and it would make even more. And when I go home, it wasn't as bad. But as it got worse, and as it got worse, every place I go, there'd be an oil spot. Well, one day, I was getting out of my truck there at work, and I was kind of in a hurry, and I was fixing to go into work. And as I was walking across the front of my truck, my feet just slipped, and I barely kept from falling. Well, you know what you do when you do that. You look around to see if anybody was noticing. And I thought, you know, I'm glad that the guys didn't see that. Because then I realized what they were talking about. And I thought, you know, that's dangerous. And I thought about that. And I thought, you know, that's the way it is with salvation. People always, or generally, will deny, that's not me. That's somebody else. It's somebody else's fault. It's somebody else's doings. It's something that someone else did. It's not all. I may be a little bit responsible, but it's not all me. Well, sometimes the Lord has to bring us to a place to where we can see ourselves. And He gets us to that place, and we begin to realize that, yes, it's me. You know, I think about salvation. The Lord, when He paid this price, He paid it for you and I to have something that would deliver us from the powers of sin, from hurt, from disappointment, from all the things that this world is suffering from. But you know, He made it possible for us, but we still have to decide, is it worth it? I look at that, and I think it's something that, it's a question that while you and I can ask a lot of people, a lot of different ones advice, may receive it without asking it, about whether it's worth it or not, it's a question that ultimately we're going to have to decide for ourselves. It's a question that you and I are going to have to come down to the place, and we're going to have to decide, is it worth it? I've looked at this truck, and I've asked a lot of people, and I just have to tell you, my wife told me one time, the other day, she said, you just need to quit asking anybody. Because every time I'd ask somebody, one time I'd think, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And then I'd ask the next person what to do, and they'd tell me, no, I wouldn't do that. And so then I decided, well, maybe I shouldn't do that. And I was back and forth. You know, that's the way it is. The enemy wants you and I to be back and forth, undecided in our decisions. When it comes to living for the Lord, the devil will come by and tell you, it's not worth it. The Lord will come by and He'll begin to tell you, and as you listen back and forth, the enemy will get you so confused in your mind that you just don't know what to do. I thought about, you know, if somebody came to me and they asked me, or they told me, said, Brother Curtis, I've got some land, some property in New York City, right down in the very heart of New York City. It's worth about $2 million. And I'll let you have it for $1,000. But there's one stipulation. You have to live on it for 2 years. Well, I'm sure that's something that I would get lots of advice on from very many people that were well-meaning people. Some of them, no doubt, would tell me, $1,000, 2 years, you'll never get that kind of return on your money anywhere else. You'd be foolish not to take it. You'd be foolish. You could live anywhere for 2 years for $2 million. And then there'd be somebody on the other side that would say, well, Brother Curtis, you need to think about that. I wouldn't live in New York City for any amount of money. And my children are about raised now, but if I had small children, I'm sure one of their concerns would be, you need to think about your children. You take them and live in the heart of New York City and the influences it could be on them, it's not worth it for no amount of money. Here I would be with advice on both sides from well-meaning individuals, really concerned. This is something that they are concerned about. And they're advising me one way or another. You ought to do this. Another one's saying you shouldn't. Now what am I going to do? Well, I want to ask you tonight. What do you do when you're faced with decisions like that? What do you do when you're faced with those kind of decisions? I'm sure that every one of us in here tonight are faced with decisions similar to that. It may not be on that scale financially, but I'm going to tell you, dear ones, tonight, the cost of some small decisions are much greater than that. The cost of some of the smallest decisions, they cost you much more than $2 million. I thought about recently there was something that happened there at home. There was a group of young boys. They were out on their summer break. And they decided to go play some paintball. And so they went, got together, a few carloads of them. They went to play paintball. And no doubt had a good time. And on the way home, as they were driving down the road, somebody decided that it'd be fun to shoot the other car with a paintball gun. And so they did it. Well, the other car decided to respond in like kind. And here they went down the road in these cars, and they were shooting paintballs back at each other. Well, I'm sure that somebody would say, well, that's just boys. And they're having fun, and no harm, no foul, and they're just doing what boys will do. But I want to tell you what the result of that decision was. Because of that decision, one of the boys got distracted from what he was supposed to be doing. He was driving. And he got his eyes and watching all this other stuff that was going on, and he got distracted from what he was supposed to be doing, and he lost control of the car. I don't remember all the details, but it seemed like the car flipped, and one of the young men was ejected from the car, and he was killed. It's tragic. This young man was just entering his senior year of high school. A time when you'd think that everything would just be just the pinnacle of his school years. I'm a senior now. Everything's going well. But at that point, because of that decision, he was taken out into eternity. I thought about a scripture that I'd like for you to look at. It's over here in Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the 10th chapter. Jeremiah, the 10th chapter in the 23rd verse. Says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. Dear ones, tonight the burden that the Lord has laid on my heart is that every one of us in here tonight would understand and fully appreciate what the prophet is saying here. Because it will not only save as much heartache and grief in life, but it's also the secret to being successful in all of our decisions of life. I'd like to read this again. He said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. I thought about the boys that I was just telling you about. Had they known where the decision would have led when they got that gun out and began to shoot it as they were driving down the road, I am very confident that every one of those young men before they left that paintball course, would have taken their paintball guns and all the other paraphernalia and stowed it securely in the trunk. They would have got in that car, and they would have sat down and buckled their seatbelt, and they would have behaved themselves exceptionally well. Their parents would have been proud of them if they had known. In fact, as they were driving along, I'm sure they wouldn't have wanted to do anything to distract the driver. They would have taken, and if he had so much as looked off the road at something out here, I'm confident if they'd known what would have happened if he got distracted, they would have been saying, no, you need to watch. They would have been pointing to him, you need to keep your eye on the road. You need to look at this. Oh, dear ones tonight, may the Lord help us to have that kind of concern for those around us. Those that we deal with every day, may the Lord help us to have that kind of concern that they make heaven. Because we don't know how that person may affect us in making heaven. Well, these boys, they didn't know. They didn't realize where that decision would lead. And so they made a decision that was strictly based on what they thought was good at the time. And that reminds me of a scripture there in Proverbs, the 13th chapter. In the 12th verse, and it says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, I realize that this scripture and all of them, no doubt, that I read tonight, are very familiar scriptures. Probably everyone in here has heard them preached on time and again. You may have even learned them as Sunday school verses, and you can quote them by heart, but I want to ask you again. What do you do when you're faced with decisions like this? Do you ask yourself this question, is it worth it? Do you weigh the cost, or do you just take and just do what seems good at the time? There's a scripture that I want to look at over here in Numbers. Numbers, the 22nd chapter. This is the story of Balaam. You know this story, I'm sure. Most of you probably by heart. Balaam was a man that the Lord used. He was a man that the people there, Balak, the Midianites, I believe it was here, they had confidence in Balaam. When they got in trouble, they sent to Balaam because he was a man that when he prayed, the Lord answered his prayers. It says here in Numbers, the 22nd chapter, 5th verse, he said he sent messengers therefore unto Balaam. This was Balak, the king of the Moabites. And he said here, he sent him to him to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I will prevail that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessed is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. I find that any time that the devil sees God's people on the move or prospering, it makes him nervous. And he'll do everything within his power to distract, discourage, and destroy you and I. That's his purpose. And he'll use whatever means that he can. He'll try one thing, and if it doesn't work, he'll bring something else along. And if that doesn't work, he'll keep trying until you and I make heaven. It doesn't matter how old we are or how young we are, the devil is going to try us. Doesn't matter if we're just saved or if we've been a minister and preaching for 50 years, the devil's still after us. And he's going to do everything he can. And he'll try every form. And we heard about it in the meeting, all right? It's dangerous. The devil is out after our souls. And he's trying to do anything that he can to destroy you and I. Well, here we find that the king sent to Balaam. And I thought about, do you know, dear ones, if you and I are not very careful, the enemy will use you and I to accomplish his purpose. You might say, well, no, I'll never work for the devil. I was in sin once and I'll never work for the devil again. But let me caution you tonight. If you and I begin to lose that urgent sense of dependence upon God, we'll find ourselves in His employ. Do you know there's been many well-meaning people that the enemy has used to discourage, distract, and to destroy precious souls? And when they begin to realize what the enemy had done and how he used them in that, don't you know they felt sorry? They felt awful. I can't think of anything worse than to realize that something that I did or said caused some soul to be lost. But you know, the devil has used many well-meaning people, and it happens when you and I begin to lose that real urgency and that sense of, Lord, I need Thee. That song said, I need Thee every hour. Oh, dear ones, tonight we need the Lord. We can't make it on our own. We don't know how to go on our own. And when we try within our own power, we're going to find ourselves in the devil's employ. And we'll find that the enemy will use us to hinder someone else. It goes on here and it says in this seventh verse, and the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand, and they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? And Balaam said, Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent unto me, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. I look at this and I find that Balaam, in my estimation anyway, he did everything that he should have up to this point. He didn't just take when someone came to him and brought something to him that he really didn't know. And I believe, honestly, Balaam at this point really didn't know whether it was right or wrong. And he didn't just say, okay, that's what you want me to do, I'll do it. But Balaam took it to the Lord in prayer. And he began to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord was faithful to show Balaam what he should do. Well, he said here in this 13th verse, he said, and Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. I thought about this scripture and how that the Lord was faithful to reveal to Balaam exactly what he should do. And Balaam did exactly what the Lord told him to do. Now, thought about the scripture there. Is it Micah, maybe the 6th chapter? It says, he has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? Do you know what I believe? If you and I are honest with our own souls and with God, God will be faithful. He'll be faithful to reveal to us His will, just like He did here to Balaam. But you know, there's something that's important for us to get a hold of. Just because that you and I do the will of God when He shows it to us doesn't mean that the devil's going to go off out there somewhere and leave us alone. He's going to do exactly like He did to Balaam. If you look here in this 15th verse, it says, and Balaam sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. You know, I believe the enemy of our souls will do just exactly like this. He'll keep coming back, and he'll keep coming back. And every time that he comes back, he'll present it in just a little different and a little more favorable, a little more enticing way. Every time that he comes back, he'll find something that maybe this is just a little more enticing. Well, he said here in this 17th verse, for I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. Well, while Balaam knew what God had told him to do, Balaam did something here that he shouldn't have done. Balaam knew already at this point what God had told him. But he invited the enemy in. And when he invited the enemy in, God was obligated to give him the opportunity to go if he wanted to go. Dear ones, tonight, God is not going to make you and I obey him. He's not going to make us serve him. As much as I would like for somebody to tell me, this is what you do, and go down there and do it, I want somebody else to take that responsibility to tell me what to buy. Do you know I've got to make that decision for myself? And you know it comes right around in that same way in living for the Lord. The Lord is going to come by, and if you're honest with your soul, I am fully persuaded that God will reveal to every one of us what we should do. I'm confident. I don't have to worry about, and I've told people there at home, I'm not afraid to allow the Lord to lead someone. Because I'm confident if they'll just give their whole hearts and lives to the Lord will be faithful to lead him just like he has me, like he has you and everyone else down through time. But the Lord's not going to make us do it. He's going to give us an opportunity. And when Balaam here got to that place where he invited the enemy in against something that he already knew, it obligated God to give him an opportunity to go if he wanted to go. And I thought about what Jesus said. Another very familiar scripture there in John 3:16. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Do you know, I am so thankful the Lord didn't say that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever so-and-so over here says can make it in, they'll make it. I'm thankful that the Lord didn't say that he gave his only begotten Son and this certain number of people over here, they'll be able to make it. He didn't do that. If he had of, you know, there's a good chance that a lot of us wouldn't be able to make it. But he said, whosoever. And that whosoever opened it up to every one of us. And when he opened it up, it's a volunteer thing. And he made it available to us. But at the same time, you and I have to be willing that, yes, it's worth it. And we'll take it of our own. I'm willing, Lord. I'm willing to accept what you've offered to me. The Lord's not going to come by and say, you've got to do it because I gave it to you. Well, I thought about this. When God has given us light and understanding on something in our lives, do you know it's a dangerous thing to invite the enemy in? It's a dangerous thing when the Lord has shown us something to invite the enemy in. To begin to talk to us and tell us, well, this or maybe that. Do you know you'll be as confused or more confused than I've been about trying to figure out what to do? I'm buying a truck. Because you just listen to the enemy and he'll get you so tossed about, you don't know what's right. Well, that's exactly what happened to Balaam here. He said in this 19th verse, it says, "Now therefore I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more." Do you know, the Lord had made it very clear to Balaam. In this 12th verse, he told him here, he said, "Thou shalt not go." Don't go with them. Don't curse them. Because these people are blessed. So why do you suppose that Balaam was continuing to inquire of the Lord? "Lord, what do you want me to do here?" It's because Balaam was searching somewhere. He was searching for a reason or an excuse to be able to go with them. He was looking for some avenue. "Lord, what would you have me to do?" He already knew what the Lord wanted him to do, but he kept inquiring of the Lord. "Lord, what would you have me to do?" And you know what the Lord did? He gave him that opportunity. The Lord gave him the opportunity that he was looking for. And I thought about this. It says here in this 20th verse, it says, "And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, thou shalt do." Do you know, I believe with all my heart that God knew that the temptation for Balaam would be too great if he went where the enemy wanted him to go. I believe with all my heart that the Lord knew that if Balaam got on the enemy's territory, that the temptation would be too great for him. And that's why he told him to begin with, "Don't go. Don't go." Well, Balaam did. And even though the Lord knew the temptation was too great, he left the ultimate choice up to Balaam.
He left the ultimate choice to Balaam to decide whether he would stay or whether he'd go. And when he gave him that little opportunity that, yes, you can go if this happens, it didn't happen, but Balaam went on. He took that little window of opportunity that seemed like, well, seems like the Lord's going to give me a way out now, so I'm going to take that. And he went that way. You know, this brings me back to the question that I asked us earlier. What do you do when you're faced with decisions like this? What do you do when you're faced with decisions like this? Do you ask yourself, is it worth it? Is it worth it? And I underline, is it worth it? Because I don't know what you're facing in your life, but you do and the Lord does. And you know what you're up against, that the enemy is presenting there, and he's presenting this to you in lieu of something that the Lord has told you. He's presenting this instead of living the life that maybe the Lord has been pulling at your heartstrings, even during this meeting, trying to woo you to a closer walk with the Lord. And there's something that the enemy keeps presenting. I want to ask us tonight, is it worth it? Because ultimately, you and I are going to be faced with the question of being able to say, was it worth it? Was it worth it? I realize that during this series of meetings, services, you get lots of advice. You get lots of counsel from the Word of the Lord. And I can give you advice tonight, but you know the decision is going to be yours. You're going to have to decide, is it worth it? My advice to you would be, if it draws you closer to the Lord, if it makes you more like Christ, it's worth it. Because you know that's exactly what the Lord is desiring. Do you know the reason that the Lord permits things to come our way many times is to bring us into that place that will make us more like Christ? There's trials and there's tests and there's temptations. There's things that happen in all of our lives. But you know, I'm persuaded that through them all, the Lord is looking to bring us into a place to where we're more like Christ. Oh, dear ones, tonight, if you're facing something in your life and the enemy is there, I mention these scriptures being very familiar scripture, and I'm sure that most all of us know them. So that tells me that we know what the Lord is saying. And when the Lord reveals to you and I, Sister Connie knew. She knew when she stood in that line or in that tire shop, she knew what she should do. Now, she could justify herself and find all kinds of reasons to support why she would be frustrated with those people. But deep down in her heart, the Lord was saying, you know what to do. You know, tonight, I'm persuaded that all of us know what to do. If you're here tonight and you're struggling with an answer, let me encourage you to back up. Sometimes we get so involved, Lord, help me to know what to do, and Lord, help me to know what to do, and we can't even hear the voice of the Lord. I want to encourage you to just back up for a little bit. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. And begin to turn and pray, Lord, draw me closer to you. Lord, help me to be more like you. You know, you might find that the Lord has already shown you the answer when you back off from it just a little bit. I found many times that sometimes that the Lord, when He's beginning to talk to me, that the Lord's already shown me, but in my earnestness, and Lord, I want to know, and I'm desiring, and the Lord just saying, He just folded His arms, and He said, when you get still, I'll show you what I showed you way back here a long time ago. Do you know, it's real easy, because I found that the Lord always leads, line upon line, and precept upon precept. And when I'm faced with a decision that I don't know what to do, do you know, I find that when it's something that I shouldn't do, it always crosses something that the Lord has already told me back somewhere. Always, when it's something that I shouldn't do, and something that I'm looking at, it's new and I don't know, I find always that when I come to that place of that decision, the Lord, when I get still, the Lord says, but what about this that I showed you way back here? And I find that I have to cross that to be able to go into something that's wrong. Oh, dear ones, tonight, the Lord is faithful to reveal to our hearts. I am confident tonight the Lord is very faithful to reveal to you and I what His will is. And my advice to you is, if it draws you close to the Lord, if it makes you more like Him, then do it. Because that's what the Lord wants. But my advice also is that if it's something that distracts you from doing the will of the Lord, if it's something that draws you away from doing what you know deep in your heart to do, I would advise you with all the strength that I could to flee that thing. If it distracts you at all, I want to encourage you to leave it alone, because that thing will cost you dearly. This is not my advice. This is the Lord's advice. And I want to look at a scripture here. Matthew the 16th chapter. Matthew the 16th chapter in the 26th verse. Again, very familiar scripture. Jesus was speaking here, and he said in Matthew 16 and 26, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" You know, when you and I look at these decisions in the light of eternity, it puts them in a whole different perspective. But I want you to know something also. That's a perspective that the devil will never show you. That's a perspective that the devil will never show you. He'll show you all the grandeur, and he'll show you all the kingdoms of the earth like he did with Christ, but he'll never show you this perspective. Do you notice in the temptations of Christ, there was not one time that he came and showed him that when you do this, this is what's going to be the end result? He didn't do it. And he won't do it to you either. But he'll come and show you all these other perspectives. But when you and I look at it in this perspective, in the light of eternity, it's a whole different perspective. And if it causes us to miss heaven, if it causes us to miss heaven, do you know what we'll do? We'll spend eternity saying, "It wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth it." All through eternity, every time that everything that we think of that cost us from making heaven, we'll say, "It wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth it." It reminds me of the wife of a man that I've had do some work for us there at work different times. Some of you have heard me tell about him, about her. This woman was a mother, and she was a school teacher. She was someone that had a natural love for children. She loved them, like many of us here this evening. But one day she left, got through with school, and she walked out of the school, and she had the daycare or babysitter was just across the street from the school. And so she left the school, and she walked across the street to pick up her little baby. And when she went to the door and she asked them for her child, they looked at her with a strange look. And they said, "She's not here." And the mother was like, "I want my baby. Where is it?" And they had this strange look on their face, and they said, "You didn't bring her this morning." And that mother stood there for a minute, and the realization dawned on her. And she let out a scream, and she took off running back to the school parking lot. And when she got there, she opened the door, and you can imagine what she found. It was too late. This child that she loved, I'm confident. This man, I've worked with him, and I know the type of people they are. She loved this child. But something happened. Something happened that morning that distracted her from what was most important in her life. She got there and she got out of their vehicle and went in, taught class all day. And now she came, and the child had been there all day on a hot day, had perished. I thought about this woman. My heart went out to him. But I thought about this woman. Can you imagine what she has gone through? Can you imagine what she was going through at that instant when she let out that scream and she realized it dawned on her what she had just done? And when she went and she opened that door and she looked upon her child, can you imagine the grief, the heartache? I can't. It would almost tear your heart out. And I thought about this woman, how she must have relived over and over and over the course of events for that day. Don't you know that ever since that time, that those things have gone through her mind, everything that she did has gone through her mind over and over. How could I have ever done that? What was so important that I forgot my child? I don't know what happened. I don't know what it was that distracted her. Perhaps it was an argument with her husband that morning. Maybe something had happened that morning and her husband had had words and she was reliving it in her mind as she was going to work, and it just enveloped her. You know what I'm talking about. I'm sure every one of you've had things that just seem like it just so enveloped you that you're just oblivious to everything else that's going on. Perhaps that's what it was. Maybe there was words that were spoken there that as she went to work, it was going through her mind. Do you know, I'm persuaded today she would tell you it wasn't worth it. That little argument wasn't worth it. Dear ones, tonight, I want to tell you, when you look at these kind of things in your life, do you know the enemy is going to bring things to distract and discourage and destroy you and I? He's going to bring little arguments among brothers and sisters. He's going to bring arguments about husband and wife. He's going to bring little conflicts and things in your life. But I want to tell you, it's not worth it. When you look at it like this, it's not worth it. If it will cost you eternity in hell, it's not worth it. All these scriptures that I've read you, they're familiar, aren't they? Do you know the scripture tells us so clearly, if we hate our brother, we're not going to be able to make it to heaven. How many of us know that? We all know that, don't we? If we have envy and strife, if we have jealousy, if there's backbiting, the scriptures are very plain and we know it by heart that it's not acceptable. But you know what the enemy will do? He'll bring little things along in your life to distract you, to discourage you, to bring those little things, to bring little irritations to where you get distracted from what really is most important in life, in living for God. Being the example that God would have you to be. And so you go along and you get all stirred up. You know, the Lord showed me that one day. There was something that happened there at work, and it had to do with some of the homosexual movements that's going on and some of the things at the time that the company was enforcing. Thankfully, they've changed some of that. But they were pushing these things, and you know, I was there at home one day, and that was just going through my mind, and they were trying to force people to accept this lifestyle and this awful thing. And as I was going through that in my mind, and I was sitting there, and I was shaving, and you know, it just began, this righteous indignation, we call it, began to rise up in me, and I began to think, there's no way. They're just not going to make me feel that way and accept it. And as I began to think on that, and one thing led to another, and I got in my truck and I was going to work, and the Lord said, I know that's not wrong, but what about this? He began to point out, you're getting an attitude. You know, you and I can get attitudes over something that's wrong and still be wrong. The devil can come along and take something that's wrong and stir it up. You say, well, my companion did such and such and that was wrong. Yes, but two wrongs never make a right. My brother did something, so and so said something, that was wrong. Do you know the reason the devil does that? He's trying to distract us. He's trying to discourage us, to hinder us. Oh, dear ones, tonight my burden is that you and I recognize that it's not within man that walketh to direct his own steps. You and I need a real dependence upon God. And in everything that we face in life, all the things that we face, oh, dear ones, we need God desperately. And when the enemy comes in and presents something to you, don't allow him to cause you to respond in the way he wants you to. But I want to tell you, do like Sister Connie did. I can point you to her example. She asked the Lord to give her grace. And the Lord helped her to be the example that she was. Oh, dear ones, I'm going to tell you, when you and I get to that place where we cross into eternity, we'll be glad. We'll be glad. Do you know if she'd have acted in a way that it had caused her to have an attitude and caused someone else to be lost, and she crossed into eternity? Can you imagine facing that? That'd be an awful thing, wouldn't it? To think that I'm responsible by the words. Remember, there's been many good people that the enemy has used to accomplish his purpose. You know, I thought about this woman. It may not have just been an argument. Maybe she was thinking about the lesson that she was going to have that day. It may have been something good. Oh, this is going to be a good lesson. The children are going to be so, they're just going to enjoy it so much. And she got so enthralled in it that she forgot. Do you know it's possible for you and I in serving the Lord, in doing things that are good, to get so distracted in our own soul that we miss it? That we forget what is most important. Lord, I'm working for you and I'm laboring, I'm going here and there. That's part of the hazards. The Lord's saying, yes, I want you to do that. But first of all, I want you to spend some time with me. Oh, dear ones, tonight, we need God. We need Him desperately. We need the Lord to help us in everything that we face in life. I'm confident that everyone in here knows. He has showed the old man what is good. I'm confident you know what's good. And I'm confident that what He has shown you is enough to lead you step by step. But the question is, what do you do when you're faced with decisions like this? Do you ask, is it worth it? Most importantly, do you ask the Lord, Lord, is it worth it? Lord, is this worth it for my soul? Is this something, Lord, that will draw me closer to You? I'm confident that if it's not, the Lord will come by and He'll say, don't go. Don't do it. Don't say it. Don't even act it. Matter of fact, don't even be thinking about it. Just wipe it out of your mind. Because that's something that'll get you in trouble. And you know, if it's something that's good, I'm sure the Lord will come by and say, that's good. You can do that. Oh, dear ones, tonight, I'm thankful that we serve a loving God. He cares for us. He's compassionate. He cares enough that He'll show every soul what is good. Because when you think about that woman, and you think about the scream that she uttered, I am persuaded with all my heart that the Lord is hearing those screams tonight. I'm persuaded with all my heart the Lord is hearing screams in eternity of people that when they cross that threshold from this life to the next, there's a scream that is uttered when they realize what it has cost them. And I am persuaded that those screams are echoing through eternity. People realizing all of a sudden when the cares of life and all the pleasures and all the other things, all the hurts and all the things that mean so much that envelop us and it just so overwhelm us right now, when we step across that brink of eternity and we realize what it has cost us, that's when that scream will be uttered. And in my mind, the Lord's hearing those screams. And so that's why He's taking in His mercy and prolonging time. He's prolonging time. Another monarch. Maybe this year I can dig about them. Maybe this year they've had a profession for 30 years, 40 years. Maybe they've just gotten saved and something's happened. It's hindered them. Maybe if I let them go through one more monarch, they'll hear something that'll dig about them. that will reveal to them and help them to look in the mirror and see, this is who I am. And maybe, maybe they'll remember. They'll remember what I've told them. And if they will, don't you know the Lord's saying it's worth it? All of these things that this world is going through, it's costing something. You look at the heartache and the grief. The Lord's hearing a lot of cries today. But He's saying all the suffering that's in our world, all the things that are happening as a result of sin, it's worth it to prolong life. Apparently it is, because He's letting it. It's worth it to not hear those cries in eternity saying it wasn't worth it. Dear ones, tonight, it's not within man that walketh to direct his own steps. We need the Lord. And when you and I recognize that and fully appreciate it, it'll cause you and I to fall on our knees before the Lord. In everything that we face in life, no matter what it is, it'll cause you and I to humble our hearts and go to our closet in prayer and say, Lord, I don't know what to do here. Show me. And I'm confident if you do that, honest with your soul, the Lord will be faithful to show you what to do. Lord, help us tonight.